At dinner Friday night, my friend Mike Brown looked me in the eye and he said, "You're trying to outsource confidence and I'm not going to let you get away with it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to support the heck out of you, but this is yours." So backstory here is I am looking to do a mastermind group for entrepreneurs that work on their inner growth. So coaching program, mastermind group, but like a group coaching program in person where we do the inner work to relieve ourselves of the trap of trying to get success from the outside and really connect with the inside and bring our gift to the world in a way that comes from like overflowing of love for self and for others. And I'm nervous about it. I'm a little scared about it. I've never done events before, at least not sort of at this scale in this country. I've never done a coaching program at that level before. And I know I can do it, but I'm at the same time a little bit nervous. I'm mostly nervous about, you know, about do I have kind of the support structure behind me that will allow me to really shine and do my work there and like whatever. It's like unconscious stuff. And so over dinner, I was asking Mike, my friend, is like, "Hey, maybe we could do it together. The first one, we could do like a share thing." And he's like, "We could, but I'm not going to do that because you're trying to outsource your confidence and I'm not going to let you get away with it. Instead, I'm going to support the heck out of you and help you put this together, and I'll give you all of my playbooks and all of my experience and all of the things. I'll support the heck out of you, but it's yours to do." And I really appreciate that. And it started me thinking about this, like, where in our lives are we outsourcing our confidence? Where in your life are you outsourcing your confidence? So in addition to wanting to bring to do it with Mike, the other thing that I wanted to do was bring some folks from Body SDS and have them do it with me, giving sessions and that kind of stuff, because I wasn't confident enough in myself on my own doing this. And so what I've decided is that the first one, I'm not going to bring them over. Later on, I'm going to bring them over. The idea is that we'll bring guests. We'll have like 3 events per year, and I'll bring guest speakers, people who can help people on that journey. But the first time, I'm going to be just me, just so that I really build that confidence that I can hold my own in this space, which I know I can. But this is so common, right? We kind of know it, but then these doubts creep in and we get nervous about it, and we're like, "Oh, I don't know," and like, "What if something goes wrong?" And la la la, right? So think about that. Like the common thing, it's very common that we hire, quote unquote, a life partner, like a wife or a husband or significant other, to be that outsourced confidence. I did that with my first wife in, like, she was very good, like, social and, like, you know, making friends and allies and alliances and all kinds of stuff. And I was not. I was, like, very introvert. I was very insecure. And so it was a way for me to kind of outsource that confidence to her, let her run with that. And then when my current wife, like, that's not really her jam. So I was like, "Shit, what do I do now? Now I have to figure this out on my own," right? And that's good. I've grown so much from that. A business partner, someone that people will outsource their confidence to. Like, I don't have to figure this out because I'll find a business partner who can do this, right? Or maybe it's a hire. Like, I hired a marketing director because I was insecure about my marketing skills, and it turns out that I've got the marketing chops down, like, especially after I decided, like, I'm going to focus on this and I'm going to really get to the bottom of it and learn it in a very deep first principles kind of way. And then it turns out I've got that down way more than any marketing director I've ever had. And the confidence that I gained from doing that was, you know, invaluable, priceless. And so the confidence that you stand to gain from not outsourcing this is incredible. Another thing that people often outsource their confidence to is a coach or a mentor. Not that coaching and mentorship is bad, but it can become a crutch, right? You're the one that has to do the work. You're the one that has to decide, I'm going to own this. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to master it. The coach can help kind of guide you, and they can help uncover some of your blind spots, some of your false beliefs, and so on. But they cannot do the work for you. And it can be this crutch that keeps you stuck because you're like, well, I'm in this coaching relationship and my coach, but you're not really taking ownership. You're not really taking responsibility. And so it becomes another way of you outsourcing your confidence. There's a famous self-development guy named Werner Erhard. He created EST, which became Landmark. And he had the saying that most people walk around with their umbilical cord in hand, looking for somewhere to plug it in. And I think it's so true for looking at the world at large, right? Most people are just looking for someone or something or somewhere to, you know, deposit their willpower, their confidence, their responsibility, and they just want someone else to do the thing for them, right? They just wanted someone else to tell them what to do and then also take responsibility for it, right? What if it fails? What if I fuck up? What if it doesn't go right? Well, it's not my fault. It's not my responsibility because I gave that to someone else. And that drive is so strong in people that we just want, like, just let me live just a completely mediocre, boring life so that I do not have to take responsibility for anything, for myself, my dreams, my life, whatever. Just I don't want to have that responsibility because I might fail. It stood out to me like early in my days and when I just was studying to become a coach in 2007, I had a client that I was working with and he really wanted to write this novel. And he didn't. He didn't write the novel or he hadn't. And the reason why, when we dug into it, he was afraid that he was going to write it and it turned out to be shit. He was going to write it and it turned out to be no good. And that meant that he was not a good writer. And then the dream of becoming a novelist, a writer, was dead. Right? So he would rather live in the fantasy world of, oh, I'm going to be a writer. I'm going to write a great book. It's going to be fantastic. Than actually taking a shot at writing that book. I have an illustration on the inside of my book, Show Up and Serve, which I saw in passing somewhere years and years ago, and then it stuck with me, and I had an illustrator redo it, and it looks like this. If that will focus. Damn it. It doesn't really focus. Oh, there we go. So this guy, okay. Let's see if we can, hopefully you caught it. But there's a guy standing in front of two doors. One of the doors says heaven, and the other says books about heaven. That was me for so long, right? Like, just would rather read books about heaven, books about other people's success, follow along on social media and see people who are successful and do shit, than actually do the work myself. One of the ways that we, you know, try to get away from taking responsibility for our dreams and, you know, live life of actual heaven on earth is by, you know, substance abuse, right? So we'll drink alcohol or we'll smoke weed or we'll have an affair or we'll like buy something to distract ourselves. Like, we'll do something to distract ourselves from the pain. The pain, and I did this for years, the pain of not living the life that you're made for is not intense, but is this like low grade, like some kind of void inside, right? Some like, some discontent. And the natural thing to do, but the thing that most people end up doing is that they drink it away, or they do something else to just distract them. They watch TV and they like do some sort of stimulant, or they drown themselves in work, or they, have an affair, like whatever you do to distract yourself from this like gnawing feeling inside that there's something that you're meant for, there's some calling, there's something that's not right, there's something that you need to shift, that you need to change. And one of the best decisions I've made is just quit alcohol completely, because that was a major way that I would drift. And what happens is that when you use those short-term mind-altering, like, you know, mood-altering substances or activities, sex, work, you know, going for a run, even like, you know, exercise can be one of those. The core thing that happens when you use those is that it takes some of that tension away. And so now there's less pressure for you to actually change, right? It numbs out the pain, but it makes you live in that middle band of like, yeah, okay, it's not too bad, it's not too good. Whereas it's much better to just like feel the pain and then like use that as a driver to make change, to change something. If there's one thing that I've discovered over the years is that like really, really doing the work, like really changing, is that it requires momentum. It requires like a firm decision. No, not, no longer enough. I'm going to change this now. It's not like it really, it takes more power, more momentum, more decision, more to make that change than people realize. And so they do a little bit and think, yeah, this is gonna, and then like, well, like, is it hard? Let me have another glass of wine. Like, you know, no, like really make up your mind and then stay with it and put everything that you have towards that. And if you do that with the first thing, that becomes a habit. And now you can do it with the next thing and with the next thing and the next thing. And then you start to build upon momentum. Like you can stack things. Like, but you can only build on success. So you have to get in the habit of succeeding with the things that you set out to do. I think one of the things that tripped me up for so many years is the difference between being and doing, because I always felt unworthy, unlovable as I am in my being. And that made the doing feel hollow, right? Because if the doing is so that I may make a lot of money or be very, like have a very muscular body and be very fit, la la la, all these things, or have this, you know, beautiful life or wife or car or whatever that I think is going to fill that void inside that comes from not feeling lovable as I am, my being, well, it's always going to feel hollow. It's always going to feel hollow. So what we need to do is we need to actually heal that pain of feeling not worthy. And then all this other stuff just becomes like, what else can I do? What else can I do? What else can I do? Because this is fun. It's not about fixing, hoping that I can fix this thing that's broken inside with something out there, which you will never be able to do. It won't work. It never can work. It becomes about, I'm already full inside. I'm already feeling love and worth. And now I'm just creating shit because it's fun. Because like it's I enjoy the fruits of my labor because I just like going for a run, it feels good afterward, right? Like really using your muscles feels good afterward. So I'm putting in the effort and that feels amazing. And I'm creating stuff and it feels amazing, right? Because I'm already filled up inside. So that self-worth piece is crucial. And it's really like I was reading about it recently. It's like what happens between the year of 1 and 2, you know, first year, it's all like goo goo gaga, blah, 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 happy times, like mom, generally, like mom looks at you and she like, she's smiling. You have this like right brain to right brain connection. It's amazing. And you love, dopamine in your brain. And then after age 1, you start to get in trouble, right? You start to walk maybe and you get yourself in trouble and it's like, no, don't do that. In that moment, we feel terrible shame. We feel wrong. And if our parents or mom especially is able to in that moment connect with us and be like, it's not you that's wrong. It's not nonverbal, obviously, but like really help that you in that moment of shame. Shame is such a devastating feeling. It's so painful. But if your mom is able to help you in that moment of shame and actually connect and make you feel love again, make you feel dopamine again, then it's fine. You learn, oh, this is my doing, it's not my being that's wrong. Like it's when I do this thing, mom says no. And then I don't do it. Like, and I'm still good. I'm still lovable. But if that doesn't happen, which for a lot of us didn't, one of my friends was like, sounds like being an entrepreneur. Like, I think a lot of entrepreneurs get driven because of this, because that didn't happen. And so we're trying to fill that gap with outer achievement and we could become overachievers. And, the problem is it never works, right? You can buy another house, you can get another wife, you can build another business, you can make another million, you can like run a triathlon, you can like do all these things to try to fill that inner void. But if the inner void, like it's not going to change the inner void because it will never be filled with any of those accomplishments because it's not about that. It's about deep being, not doing. It's about your innate worth, not your achievements. And so we have to go, you have to go heal that gap, heal that wound by reconnecting with that boy. So I forget how I got onto that topic, honestly, but the need to really figure out what you want and then go after it in a very intentional way, put all of your energy towards it, not from a place of thinking, once I get that, I'm going to feel whole and complete, because you won't, but from a place of, I'm already feeling whole and complete, or if not, then I'm daily, connecting with myself to feel more whole and complete. And from that place, I'm going to go create this stuff. That is the game plan, guys. Thanks for watching. Talk to you very, very soon. Much love, everybody. Have a fantastic week.